Welcome to everyone who's here in person. Welcome to those of you joining us online and anyone who may watch this later. This is the City of South Jordan City Council study meeting. Today is Tuesday, November 7th, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and 6 years ago today, I was elected to be mayor of the City of South Jordan. So it's kind of like it's an anniversary for me. So November 7th is the day I know.
First time.
Yeah, the first time. Yes, thank you. The first time. And so it's a privilege to be here with these outstanding public servants next to me, our city council. Appreciate each of you so much. Thank you for all of your work. Thank you to our staff. We're the best team. I'm grateful to be here with each of you. Appreciate the work you do. We're looking forward to jumping into tonight. We've got a full schedule, so we're just going to get to it. We are going to have an invocation by Councilmember Brad Marler.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful day, and grateful for the rain that we've received and the snow in the mountains. We're thankful for the opportunity to meet this evening in this council study session. We're thankful for the opportunity to represent and provide services for the wonderful people in South Jordan. Very, very thankful for our wonderful staff, for the great work that they do, and the attention that they provide to services for our residents. We pray for thy blessings and spirit to be with us, that we might be able to act on the things that are on our agendas. We're grateful for all thy many blessings to us and to this area. We've been greatly blessed. We recognize thy hand in all things. Very thankful for food this evening and pray that thou will bless it. This we do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Marler. All right, coordination. Anybody have anything you'd like to coordinate specifically?
Just tomorrow we have our meeting.
Tomorrow night is our first budget meeting, yes. Yeah. And I'll report just that the three of us were there, and Dustin was there, and some of our staff was there at the Wasatch Choice Vision meeting yesterday of WFRC. And instead of just the Southwest cities, there were 10 cities. It was the whole south end of the Salt Lake County cities that were there. It was a good turnout. UDOT, UTA, the county, the league, Vision Utah, in addition to WFRC. Everybody was there. Congressional delegation had staff there, like multiple of them.
Wow.
So, yeah, even like more had staff there.
Wow.
So,
good.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. I think yesterday went well, and it was a good opportunity to continue to talk about the things that are important to our area and specifically on our map. So, anyway, I think that went well.
Had a good meeting this morning.
Yes, we did. Good compensation meeting.
Very eye-opening.
Yeah. Yes. So, we have some work cut out for us starting tomorrow. So
that's for tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. All right, if there's nothing else, let's move on. Our regular council meeting. For the sake of time, does anybody have any specific questions about the agenda items on a regular council meeting that we won't be able to answer in the next meeting? If so, let's take the time to go through and answer them.
I don't have any questions.
No. Looked at it again this afternoon.
You did? Okay. All right, then let's move ahead. Presentation item. Our Parks and Recreation Draft Master Plan. Colby Hill is here, our Associate Director of Parks. Colby, we appreciate you being here. And the consultants who are here with him, who we will introduce.
Please have a seat.
And we have Kyrene online, too, I think. So, anyway.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
I'm assuming Kyrene is here about this.
She is.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to be here before you this evening. As you're probably aware, we have begun the process of updating our Parks and Recreation Master Plan. The last update for the Master Plan was adopted in early 2017, so it's time for us to a lot of things have changed since then, and will continue to change, and so it's time for us to update that plan again and look to the future. We have hired Sam and Madison to work with us as our consultants. They work for Landmark Design, and Landmark Design was a consultant that helped us with our last update. We've also been working with Kyrene, who you know very well, to help us with this process. Also, we have two presentations for you tonight. We're at the very beginning of the process. We don't anticipate coming to you with a draft plan for another probably, I don't know, few months at least as we go through this process. But we did want to come before you and show you the results of the survey and allow Landmark Design to start the visioning process and really try to gather what it is that you would like to see come from the plan so that as we move forward, we're taking that into consideration. We will begin with the presentation of the Y2 Analytics Survey. Kyrene, I will flip through the slides as you tell me to, and then, of course, if you have questions for Kyrene, please ask them. Take it away, Kyrene. We are not hearing you yet.
Let's see.
There we go. We're good.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, let's just dive right in here. Colby, go ahead and go to the next slide, and we'll go over some of our key takeaways up front. Okay, so I think it's worth noting that parks and recreation and recreational amenity utilization among South Jordan residents is incredibly high. We find that a majority of South Jordan residents report visiting parks at least a few times a month or more often, and an overwhelming majority are visiting at least a couple times a year. So really high levels of activity in the city, similar participation in terms of trails recreation as well. So lots and lots of recreational amenity usage here. So I think this is a great time to update this plan. When it comes to the parks and recreational amenities that residents are most drawn to, they prioritize the ones that are close to home. So this is consistent with what we found a few years ago, but it's good to have that reinforced and understand where residents are going to recreate. We find that most residents are satisfied with the number of parks in the city, but there is some desire for more trails or additional recreation opportunities. So we'll talk about the contours of those attitudes as well. When it comes to areas for potential improvement, the things that residents are most interested in for the parks in the city are shade structures, additional trees or landscaping, more restrooms, and then overall maintenance and cleanliness, as well as potential for dedicated dog recreation areas or off-leash recreation areas. And then for trails specifically, pet waste disposal stations and some separation of trail uses so that we're not seeing so many user conflicts on the trails, especially where it comes to bikers and off-leash pets. We found several comments from residents about those types of confrontations on the trails. We asked residents also about the city events and their participation in those events over the past year. Among those that we tested in this survey, the South Jordan City Farmers Market was by far the most popular. It is worth noting that somehow the South Jordan Summerfest escaped our attention on this list. So we know from prior surveys that that is the most widely attended and the most popular event that the city hosts annually. So the caveat here is that among the list that was included in this survey, the farmers market was the most widely attended. Additional events or potential opportunities for getting together that residents would be most interested in focus on something that is sort of a live entertainment and gathering opportunity. So community concerts, movies in the park, things like that. More of those. Residents really like those dinner and a show sort of get-togethers or outings. And we asked a couple questions as well about specific facilities or recreational amenities that residents might like to see in the city. The things that come to the top of the list there are pickleball courts, always in demand, an outdoor amphitheater, a dog park, and an all-abilities park.
Kyrene, can I ask a question? Was it included on there that we do have an all-abilities park, the first one in Salt Lake County?
We didn't clarify that for residents. We were just asking about additional amenities in the city that residents would like to see.
That's helpful to know. Yeah, thank you. That's good.
Yep. We also asked a budget allocation question here to understand how residents would prioritize potential distribution of parks and recreation funds. And most residents are interested in improvements and updates, continued maintenance to existing parks and playgrounds in the city, as well as walking and biking trails. So sort of hearkening back to one of the first questions that we asked in the survey, again, residents are really satisfied overall with the amount of recreational opportunities that we have in the city, and their budget priority is just to continue to maintain and improve those resources that are available. It's also worth noting that residents are not particularly enthusiastic about an additional fee for parks and park maintenance on an ongoing basis. And we'll look at the contours of that as well. Yeah. Go ahead to the next slide, Colby.
Surprise.
Thank you. For this survey, quick summary of survey methodology. We had 428 of our resident panelists respond. This was the third survey in relatively close succession for our panelists this year. So we did see a slight decline in response rates. Don and I have already talked about supplementing our panel invitations for the annual community survey in January, just to make sure that we're getting a good widespread read on residents of the city as a whole. But we are confident that this sample is representative of the city. That 428 residents still results in a margin of error lower than 5 percentage points, so 4.7 in this case. And as usual, we have weighted the data so that it is representative of the city geographically and demographically. Next slide. This is just a quick look at the geographic distribution of our respondents across council districts. Again, no real gaps in terms of the geographic distribution. We're still looking at really good widespread coverage. Next slide. And again, thank you. So overall, we asked a series of questions about what priorities residents have generally. And the things that come to the top of the list of a wide range of, again, pretty broad priorities are clean neighborhoods for 56% of residents, and then recreation opportunities comes in second, followed by open space and walkability. So really, if we take three of those top five answers, we're talking about recreation opportunities and the level of active lifestyle that South Jordan residents maintain. Overall, we have a quality of life rating on average of 84 out of 100. That's consistent with what we've seen throughout the year and over the past couple of years. So mid-80s, really, really positive quality of life ratings. And we know that quality of life tends to be highly correlated with recreational amenities and the satisfaction or utilization of those amenities that are provided. So off the bat, really getting a good start here. Go ahead to the next slide. So looking at residents' overall satisfaction ratings with parks, trails, and recreation opportunities in the city, you can see 83% total of residents are at least somewhat satisfied, and 40% indicate that they are very satisfied with the parks in the city. A total of 70%, are at least somewhat satisfied with trails, and a total of 71% are satisfied with the recreation opportunities in the city. That said, 46% of residents would like to see more trails or higher connectivity of the trails in the city, and about a third would be interested in additional recreation opportunities.
Kyrene, we have a question real quick. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What? Do you have a definition for walkability when you say you listed walkability on the list? And I'm just curious what that means to the residents. That
I wondered that too, because that's kind of
low. We did not define it any further than just the concept of walkability here. Again, this was sort of a high level, just broad priorities question, and that resonated with about one in four residents.
Thank you.
So taking a deep dive specifically into parks in the city, again, 52% of residents indicate that they're visiting parks in South Jordan a few times a month or more often, with an overwhelming majority, a 91% saying that they're visiting city parks at least a few times a year. Only 4% of residents indicate that they never use or visit city parks. So really widespread utilization here, and a lot of satisfaction to boot. Next slide. We asked residents which parks they visited in the past year, as well as which parks among those that they have visited they frequent the most or visit the most often. A lot of utilization here of the city park and the private parks in Daybreak. So 44% of residents indicate that in the past year, they've visited each of those respectively. 39% of residents have visited the Ochre Shadows Park and Splash Pad, and 38% have visited the Bingham Creek Regional Park. About a third of residents say that they visited Mulligan's in the past year. When we look at the parks and amenities that are visited most often, the private parks in Daybreak come up at the top of the list here. So 17% of residents say that those are their most frequented parks. 12% say that Highland Park is the park they visit most often. And then 10% each say that they visit the City Park or the Ochre Shadows Park most frequently. Next slide. Looking at motivations for the parks that residents frequent the most, 86% of residents say that having that park close to home is one of the most important reasons that they visit it most often. Playground equipment, a sense of safety, and then trail access or availability are the other sort of top motivators. Among specific parks that residents visit most frequently, the Daybreak private parks are perceived to have great trails access and be safe. Highland Park is known for its playground equipment and sports fields or courts, so residents are visiting that one frequently for those more organized recreational amenities. Similarly, City Park sports fields and courts come up there, as well as playground equipment. And then Ochre Shadows Park, playground equipment, and again, a sense of safety, in addition to all of these parks being close to residents' homes. We asked residents what improvements they might like to see made to their specific most frequented park. And in the aggregate, overall, we find that residents are most interested in seeing additional shade structures, or trees and landscaping, restrooms, and site furnishings. And then sort of a long tail of other potential improvements here. But it's worth noting that our top five requested improvements is actually rounded out by the suggestion that there are no improvements needed at the parks that residents visit most often. So 17% of residents in total said that there isn't really anything lacking at the park that they're visiting most often, which is great news. Again, looking at specific sites or parks that are visited most often, some of the things that residents would like to see as potential improvements that are sort of jumping up in the list here. Daybreak private parks, we're really looking at that same top three: shade structures, site furnishings, and trees or landscaping. Highland Park, residents are requesting additional sports fields or courts, ADA accessible parks and amenities, or public art installations. At City Park, residents are interested in additional walking or jogging paths and sports fields and courts in addition to those shade structures. And Ochre Shadows, residents would like to see additional restrooms in addition to, again, those shade structures and trees and landscaping. We asked residents as an open-ended question if there were specific additions or improvements that they would like to see to city parks that would make them more interested in using or visiting parks in South Jordan. And one of the most frequent requests was specific areas for off-leash dogs or additional pet waste stations or just enforcement of existing leash laws within city parks. So it is certainly a topic that is on residents' minds. Again, this was an open-ended, unprompted question. So a lot of thoughts there. We also asked specifically how important residents felt it was to have a dedicated dog park in South Jordan. And two-thirds of residents said that it was at least somewhat important to them. Other things that residents pointed out that might make parks and recreation a little bit more appealing within the city: seating areas for adults with children, especially shaded seating, comes up. And then additional maintenance or improvements to sports courts, fields, and equipment. Among the very small portion of residents who indicate that they never use or visit city parks, we find a lack of interest to be the most common response, but a small share of residents also suggests that there aren't features or facilities that they're particularly interested in specifically. Okay, so maybe not so much a disinterest in parks, but a disinterest in the types of parks and amenities that are available in South Jordan. And then age or disability is the next most common response for what might be a barrier to entry for parks and recreation use, followed by a slight perception that city parks can be too crowded. Again, this is a very, very small sample size, so we're talking about just a couple handfuls of people here, but where there are barriers to entry in recreation, it tends to be focused on just a desire to be around fewer people or just a lack of interest in recreating in parks in the city. Shifting gears a bit specifically to look at trails. Again, 41% of residents are using trails in the city a few times a month or more often. The total of 80% using trails at least a few times a year. Really, really high participation rates, again, for trails in the city. Most residents indicate that they're using city trails for hiking or walking. Recreational biking is also common. Just shy of half of residents indicate that they are biking recreationally on city trails. And then running or jogging and dog walking are activities that about a third of residents each are participating in on city trails. Commuter biking is significantly less common. And then our inline skateboarding and horseback riding constituencies make up a significantly smaller share of residents. Next slide. Again, we asked residents which trails they've visited or used in the past year and which one they visit the most often. The Daybreak Trail system comes in at the top of the list here, both in terms of overall visitation within the past year. 61% of residents indicate that they've used some trails on the Daybreak Trail system in the past year, and 47% say that those are the trails they use most frequently. 53% of residents say that they've used the Jordan River Parkway Trail in the past year, and 18% indicate that that is the trail they use most often. And then Ochre Trail, just about 1 in 5 residents say they've used in the past year. Similarly, the Mountain View Corridor Trail, about 1 in 5 residents. Ochre Shadows Park Loop, the Bingham Creek Trail, and the West Riverfront Park Loop Trail, rounding out our top tier of most frequently utilized trails in the city.
Kyrene, just a minute. I have a question for Colby. Yeah. Where's the Ochre Trail?
That is the trail that runs along the Welby Jacob Canal.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually thinking, I don't know that I could identify where quite 100% of those are most, all of them, but that was a question I had too. I thought,
I just always call it the Welby Jacob Trail.
Did you guys know we have a Sunstone Park Loop Trail? I didn't know we called it a trail.
Well, I didn't know we called it a trail, but I knew there's the way.
Yeah.
We'll connect you
in one
day.
All of these were presented to residents on a map. So it is entirely possible, and I would venture to say likely, that residents don't necessarily know the names of the trails they're frequenting, but the visual aid allowed them to provide an informed response here.
That's really good.
Smart that you gave them a visual.
Next slide. Thank you. Most common reason for visiting specific trails, again, is just that proximity to residents' homes. The additional motivators here tend to be scenery and safety. So about a third of residents each indicate that that's one of their top three motivators for the trails they use most often. The Daybreak Trail system encapsulating those three primary motivators. For the Jordan River Parkway Trail, safety, and then supporting the uses that residents are interested in. So the Jordan River Parkway Trail being a really versatile multi-use trail is appealing to the residents who use that one frequently. And then the Ochre Trail is especially popular for its connections to parks and community facilities and the multiple trailheads or entrances. So it's very accessible to residents. When we asked about improvements to the trails that residents use most often, additional restrooms comes in at the top of the list. 28% of residents would be interested in seeing more restroom facilities, increased or continued maintenance or cleanliness, trees and landscaping, and then additional pet waste disposal stations are at the top of the list of things residents would like to see improved at or along trails overall. For the Daybreak Trail system, additional lighting at the trailhead is one that sort of pops up on the list of priorities here. The Jordan River Parkway Trail, residents are especially interested in additional pet waste disposal stations. Some of the other specified comments were especially popular here, and we pulled out some of those in a follow-up to this presentation, and of course I don't have that in front of me, so I apologize. I will get back to Colby with that list of specified responses there for the Jordan River Parkway Trail. But increased maintenance is another that becomes especially important along that trail. And then Ochre Trail, interpretive signage is one that residents are especially interested in, so a definite educational opportunity along that trail in particular. Among, again, the small share of residents who are not frequently using or visiting trails in the city at all, a lack of interest is at the top of the list here, but other potential barriers to entry, again, disability or age, a lack of time, and then a lack of information about available trails or locations. So about 1 in 5 of those residents who aren't currently visiting trails in the city aren't sure where to go or how to access trails. So some additional resources. I'm sure the city website does a great job of this, but directing residents who might be interested in trail usage is the most actionable way to overcome that potential barrier to entry.
Kyrene, I appreciate that you put the sample size for every one of these questions on there. That is helpful to get to see how many people we're talking about. Thank you for that.
Of course, yeah. We want to make sure that we're contextualizing everything as much as possible, especially when we're working with a small sample size. So when we're talking to, you know, a few dozen residents who aren't using trails as opposed to our larger representative sample, yeah, definitely want to make sure that that's kept in mind. So thank you for pointing that out, Mayor. Overall, so we asked residents what types of conflicts they may have experienced in city parks, trails, or open spaces. So first, conflicts with bikes on city trails and parks. About 1 in 5 residents indicate that they have witnessed or experienced these types of conflicts. Similarly, about 1 in 5 residents indicate that they've experienced conflicts with dogs and or their owners on city parks, trails, and open spaces. The solutions to these potential recreational amenity user conflicts were especially interesting to me. When it comes to conflicts between bikers and other trail users or other open space users, just establishing clearer policies or making sure that those policies are well advertised is the most commonly requested solution. 43% of residents indicate that that would resolve a lot of those conflicts. And then more dedicated use trails. So rather than having bikers and dog walkers or joggers sharing trails, more of those dedicated single use opportunities or alternate days for those uses would be appealing to about 1/3 of residents. When it comes to conflicts between dog owners and other parks and trail users, there's about 1/3 of residents who indicate that just increased enforcement or fines for those who are not following leash laws and policies would be their most preferred solution. And then about 1/3 of residents also saying just more dedicated parks for off-leash dogs and their owners to recreate would be appealing as well. So a decent split there. And then worth noting that about 1 in 5 residents would prefer to just make all city parks off limits to dogs. There is certainly a constituency here that is passionate and concerned about those types of conflicts. So if not to go all the way to that extreme, certainly increasing enforcement or creating some more dedicated spaces would hopefully help to alleviate some of those conflicts. A quick look at residents' participation in community events. Again, 59% say that they visited the South Jordan City Farmers Market in the past year. So that is far and away the most popular event on the list that we presented to residents. Again, I think the Summerfest, the last time we tested, was above 80% participation in the last year. So really a missed opportunity there on our part. So
that's okay. We know
that we missed that very popular event.
Summerfest. We know it's popular. We know how many people come. So it's good that this is representative of everything else. Summerfest is an anomaly anyway. It's
yeah,
good.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Movies in the Moonlight comes in second place here with about a fifth of our respondents indicating that they've participated in that event. And then Candy, Windows, Light Tonight, and Santa on Town Center Drive rounding out our top five. Just about a quarter of residents indicate that they haven't attended any city events in the past year.
I wonder, Colby, on the Movies in the Moonlight, this year you had it only at
Walker Park.
Park. Yeah. How do you think that went? Do you think that was better or not? Or
I'm gonna, if it's
because
okay,
I mean you've rotated around in the past.
I think Janelle? Anecdotally it's been more, but I would defer to Janelle and participation.
So we've done that for a couple years now, and I
feel like a couple years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, we saw benefits of rotating it around, having something specifically the same spot every week people can count on, because we've had an increase in our participation.
Increased attendance.
Yeah, and we have some good data on from attendees and surveys after each that I can share with you if you'd like that in a future meeting too.
Okay. Just curious.
When we ask residents how they generally get information about events in the city, the things that come in at the top of the list here are the monthly South Jordan Recreation emails. So those who have opted in for specific notifications about city events and recreation opportunities. And then the city newsletter comes in a close second with 44% of residents indicating that that's one of their sources of information about city events. City social media accounts also about a resource for about a third of residents. And then the South Jordan Journal, a third of residents say that they get their city event information from the journal as well.
Which is fascinating because the journal never reports on anything in the city except what's happening at Bingham High School. They don't.
No, they don't.
So that's fascinating. I had a resident just say to me last night, they don't even ever report on Harbin High School. They only report what's happening at Bingham High School and nothing else in the whole city. So that's really interesting. Yeah. Okay.
That is an interesting point, and I wonder if some of the residents who are getting their information from the South Jordan Journal overlap with those folks who are just not attending city events. I'm going to dig in a little bit further to that because that is really interesting insight. So we'll see if there are any particular information channels that correlate with a lack of participation.
It's super helpful to see that that's there. But it also is, like, mind-boggling.
Bizarre.
What? That?
Puzzling.
Okay. Yeah. So it's worth looking into more on our end, too, you know, because, like, they don't actually include anything in the journal. So that means they're not getting much information if that's where they're turning, you know. So that's good to know. Thank you.
Yep. We'll dive in on our end as well. We asked residents about potential activities or additional events that could be held in city parks and which ones would be the most interesting to them or might encourage them to visit city parks more often. The most popular potential addition or more increase in events does fall under that live music or community concert category. So 52% of residents indicate that if we had some concerts in the park or more of those types of, again, dinner and a show, gathering and entertainment opportunities in the parks, that would be appealing. About a third of residents would be interested in additional kids games and activities. 30% would be interested in arts programs or activities. And then 29% would like to see more outdoor movies in city parks. 26% each would be interested in walking or biking groups, outdoor educational programs, and community picnics in the park. So a wide range of activities that might encourage visitation and use of city parks. That said, there's no indication that there is a lack of use of city parks currently.
Kyrene, question. Kyrene?
Also coming in with about a fifth of residents saying that that would be an interesting activity for them.
Kyrene, I have a question. You've got these little paragraphs that are talking about the districts. I think you're running off the old district maps. Do you have the new district maps, or are these the old district maps?
Hey, what's wrong with District 5's info? Looks great.
It's great, but it's the entire west side of the city. I'm just curious if you've got the new maps or the old maps.
I will have to check on that. I thought we were using the new ones.
Because if you go back, if you go back about one on this question, if you go back about 10 slides where you showed all the circles,
yeah,
that was the old map.
Okay. Well, I will get that updated then, and we'll go through and make sure that the commentary reflects the correct districts.
Thank you for calling that out. I've been looking at that going, oh, and now I'm just thinking, I don't think that's accurate. Because District 5 okay. is
mine.
Yours.
I'd say it's highly accurate.
I don't, because my district is the
Well, you're District 4, right? So yoga fits you a lot better.
Yeah. No, but District 4 ran like this.
Yeah, sure.
It's a completely different animal.
No, I know it is.
But yes, I would do yoga before you.
Exactly.
Right. I just think that's wrong.
Kids at home.
Yeah. If you,
we'll double check on that. Thank you.
Yeah.
As far as the types of activities that residents are participating in and whether they feel that their recreational needs are met by city amenities for each of those activities, a majority of residents indicate that walking is some form of exercise or recreation for members of their household. Just 19% of those residents say that they would like to see improvement to the amenities available for walking specifically. 46% of residents indicate that they're hiking. About a third of residents say that they're running or swimming. Really, we're in single digit requests for improved amenities or access to amenities for each of these activities, except for walking, swimming, and pickleball. Pickleball being at the top of this list. I say this every time. I will never cease to be impressed with the pickleball constituency's ability to mobilize and make themselves heard in every survey we do along the Wasatch Front. It's amazing. They cannot get enough facilities and court space and time for that particular form of recreation.
Because everyone who's vertical is playing the sport.
We asked a few questions.
Good exercise.
We asked a few questions about Mulligan's Golf and Games as well. Most residents who have visited Mulligan's have been there for mini golfing in the past year at least. And about half of residents say that they've used the driving range at Mulligan's. Just about a quarter say that they have played a round of golf at the Meadow course. And then one in five residents say that they've played a round of golf at the Ridge course. We have just shy of half, 41% total of residents who have visited in the past 12 months. So reasonably good participation here, all things considered, but certainly not as high as city parks or trails generally. And among residents who have visited Mulligan's in the past year, or actually this was among residents at large, we asked whether they would be interested in seeing a golf simulator at Mulligan's driving range. And we have about one in five residents, which pretty closely mirrors those who are currently playing golf at Mulligan's, About one in five residents would be interested in seeing a golf simulator installed in the driving range. Most residents are not particularly interested in that. And then we have about a quarter of residents who are ambivalent or unsure on the question. So definitely an amenity like that would cater to a minority of residents, but certainly our golf enthusiasts. in regards to special use facilities, again, pickleball courts, overall the most popular potential additional amenity, an outdoor amphitheater, a dog park, an all abilities or ADA accessible playground, an outdoor pool or an indoor pool, rounding out the list of top requested amenities here. But again, worth noting that when we're asking residents to select up to three amenities, and we're seeing this much distribution, no overwhelming demands, at most we have 23% of residents agreeing that they would like to see pickleball courts or additional pickleball courts in the city. There is a lot of satisfaction with the amount and availability of recreational amenities in the city, and not seeing any one potential facility have runaway demand with a majority of residents is a good indicator of that.
Did you have a question, Mary?
No, it's just really, that's really interesting information, and I think good for us to take note of on our messaging, because several of those things we do have, we've already invested a lot of money into, and we have them, which I think means that we just have some folks that don't know we have them. They just still don't realize we have them. So from a messaging standpoint, this is super helpful.
Similarly, our budget allocation question, you can see the largest average amount dedicated to any one of these potential investments of the Parks and Recreation budget was $10. And when we have a list of categories that is more than 10 items, having a $10 average amount allocation would suggest that, again, there isn't one area that residents see as in need of a lot of additional investment. They're really spreading their budget out and interested in investments in a few different areas, but there isn't, again, one overwhelming demand from residents for potential improvements. And the most commonly allocated potential fund is to existing parks and playgrounds. So continuing to maintain and improve the amenities that are already available to residents certainly comes in at the top of the list here. And then we did ask residents if they would be willing to pay a $5 per month park fee to fund new or improved recreational amenities and resources. A majority of residents would be opposed to that potential fee. If that's something that is really of interest, it would take some messaging and some persuasion to get residents on board with that expense. We asked residents if they had heard anything about the newly annexed portion of South Jordan on the northwest side of the city, and just about one in four had heard anything about it. But when asked what potential uses or amenities they might like to see included in the development of that region, trails and parks come in at the top of the list here. About half of residents would like to see each of those elements or both of those elements included in the development of that newly annexed area. The last couple slides here, just to look at our sample composition or demographics. About 86% of our survey respondents are white. We have a nearly 50-50 split between men and women. A good distribution of residents who have lived here from fewer than 2 years, certainly a small portion there, but 2 to 5 years, up to 41 years or more, really good mix of residents who have been here for a long time and have a good frame of reference, and those who are just sort of settling in and becoming aware of the recreational amenities that are available. About half of our sample have children at home, and 54% currently do not. Most of our respondents are homeowners. Again, that's largely a function of our sampling frame, leaning heavily on the utilities database, and most of our respondents are married. Education and income distributions, largely representative of what we see in the city as a whole. I have noted for future city survey reference that the $150,000 or more household income level becoming such a common response probably means we need to adjust our income categories for inflation. So we'll get a broader distribution, or hopefully a clearer distribution, in the next community survey in January. And most of our respondents are currently employed.
That's it, Kyrene.
Okay. any questions? I know that's a lot to digest, but happy to answer anything that comes to mind.
So, Mayor, if it's okay, then we'll turn the time over to, I think you're going to take it, Madison, right?
Yep.
Okay, no questions. So thank you, Kyrene. We always count on you to bring us good news. We hope it'll be good news. And actually, I think this is. I think overall, this is a lot to be proud of and feel good about. And it's also great information for us to take back. And it, like I said, from a messaging standpoint about the things we already know we do have, that there are folks that don't know we have and then look forward to this. So thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, excited to see what you have for us.
Great. So I'm just going to kind of pick up the rest of the public engagement process in addition to the survey, and then also go over our preliminary park analyses. For the sake of time, and since we want to be able to hear a little bit from you, I'm going to skip some slides about the public engagement results initially. There will be a report that will detail all of that, so you'll be able to see that at a later date anyways. But just an overview of what our public input approach has been thus far. We are at the beginning of this diagram with the existing conditions and need assessment section. So we have met with our advisory committee twice thus far, and we've had a public scoping event at the farmers market. And then obviously the survey. We also have a project website and an interactive map where people can drag and drop location-based comments. We haven't seen a lot of activity on that yet, but staff is working on pushing that more so we get some more results that way. And then we're also working on some focus interviews with certain groups in the community. So that's that. I'm going to just skip past this into our analyses here. So we kind of have three major analyses as far as parks go. The first is level of service, which is park acres per 1,000 residents. And we also looked at the amenity level of service, so what your population is per certain amenities, like playgrounds and sports courts and such. That one's kind of still in the process, so we won't be going over that today. But the third is distribution analysis, how your parks are distributed throughout the city and kind of where there are gaps in access to parks. So just touching on population growth here, South Jordan has grown a lot in the past couple decades, and it is projected to continue to grow a lot. Based on the data that we received from the planning department, it's projected to grow by 72% from 2024 to 2050, and I don't think that this number includes the annex, so it's going to be more than that. This is just a map showing how we've been detailing, inventorying the different facilities in the city. And here's a breakdown of the acreages by park category, so with regional parks being the largest and mini parks being the smallest. So as far as, you know, traditional city-owned parks go, there's just under 300 acres.
Do you count the daybreak parks in one of those categories?
So, yeah, the daybreak parks are not included here, but that is definitely something to consider, you know, as that definitely helps meet needs in the future. We usually don't include privately owned parks because the city doesn't have control over those.
Totally understand. I'd love an
asterisk, though, that said, in addition to this, there are this many daybreak parks, whatever.
Because it definitely would change the numbers.
Madison and I were talking about this a lot earlier this afternoon, actually, the need to acknowledge daybreak in this process because it does have a significant contribution to your community.
To a large part.
But we also want to be mindful that we're not swaying the focus of the plan with that as well.
I think we just need to acknowledge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with just the city-owned facilities, the level of service is 3.4 per 1,000 people. I did add Daybreak's acreage in there, and that was 4.3.
Yeah.
So, it significantly affects things, and it should definitely be acknowledged that it definitely helps meet needs.
And just my other concern on that, because as we continue to grow the annexation areas and that, all that's under going to be master development, that's going to have privately controlled parks within it as well as part of their open space. So it will kind of be an ongoing issue for South Jordan to try and address as we grow as a city.
Which is kind of more unique to us than most places.
Definitely.
I will say,
we like to break the molds.
Daybreak does a fantastic job at providing open space and trails, and we're certainly mindful of that. I mean, it serves the residents, right? That's what it does. In the distribution analysis, I think we'll find, as we look a little bit deeper into it, and I don't know that we get too much into it today, but the focus is specific to leisurely or less active recreation than active recreation. And so there's some opportunities in the future, but they absolutely do a wonderful job at providing opportunities, recreational opportunities for residents.
And your number was 4.3?
Yeah, okay. If you included Daybreak. So. Even without, it's still kind of falling in that mid three range. It looks like it's low, but it's pretty close to like the 3.6 and 3.7. So.
Well, I think I'd point out that even though your number is lower compared to other communities, the feedback that we've seen in the survey shows that as a testament to the quality of the parks that you have, which shows a lot of investment in the system, even though that number may be low per population count. So,
and if it's okay, I know we've talked about this before, but it might be worth mentioning that not all cities calculate that number the same.
Yes.
So, without throwing anybody under the bus, there are some cities that inflate their numbers, I guess, a little bit. And if you have questions about that, I'm sure Sam or Madison could
say that again. They do what a little bit?
Inflate their numbers.
They include like detention basins and open space and count that in their parks numbers.
Okay, so with the city of South Jordan, we have a lot of Daybreak open spaces that are kind of natural grasses and nobody goes on them. Are they counting that as?
We are. No, they
we
are.
We are. I know, yeah. But when you came up with your 4.3.
Mm-hmm. I tried to pick the more like developed parks spaces. Okay. And it is kind of a fuzzy line.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. That's. I like that better clarified.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be. You wouldn't be including trails either, and that's a lot of open space in our city that's usable by the public. It's not a park, but it's certainly usable open space, and people are recreating there constantly.
That's right.
So. Yeah, and that was kind of a highlight of the survey.
And it's important to note that with level of service, it's just one angle of looking at this. This plan, right? So it does give us one particular aspect that that is informing, but when we take into consideration those other aspects, it gives us a more holistic picture of where we want to go.
So help me understand, for example, the Bingham Creek Trail. Would that count towards this level of service calculation or not?
It doesn't because it's not considered a traditional park in terms of acreage, but we will address it in the trails section of the plan, which is a separate chapter from parks.
And the Bingham Creek Regional Park is partially developed, so how much of that counts towards the level of service?
Just the developed part we included.
Oh, okay.
And
so
we might actually want to reevaluate that because they're adding their disc golf course right now, which is opening up a large area of the park, even though people will have to go through, hopefully, mowed weeds. But, you know, it's not officially developed, but they are activating the space. So
really?
Might be something to consider.
So you can play on that now?
It will be in the spring.
Okay.
The disc golf course will be open.
Awesome.
They
started working on it.
Yeah, they've started to put the infrastructure in. So,
that goes kind of into this slide here showing the acres that would be needed to just maintain that 3.4 moving forward. And, of course, our population numbers are maybe not correct because of the annexation, but just the development of Bingham Creek alone will almost cover that. So, looking at distribution here, so the purple areas are service areas for city parks. So they vary in drive distance from a quarter mile to 2 miles, depending on the type of park. So regional parks, it has a service area of 2 miles, where the little teeny mini parks only had a quarter mile. So the darker the purple, theoretically, the more well-served that neighborhood is. And then the blue are those Daybreak parks. So the yellow areas are highlighting service gaps in existing residential areas. So those are maybe neighborhoods that don't have parks that are very accessible. And then, of course, you know, as more development goes out west, those areas will also have needs. But and then just looking at trails, these are existing trails. So the red is regional trails, and then the kind of the darker purple is more local trails. So they serve more of a local need. And then the turquoise is daybreak trails. And then this is just showing a existing and proposed system, kind of just the initial, our initial take. It's mostly based on the city's active transportation plan that was done in 2019. But there is some additions, mostly just kind of proposing the formalization of some of those canal roads, hopefully in the future. So that is it. So we would love, you know, any vision you have for the park system or any feedback on where you want to go with level of service or, you know, park distribution.
I have a question about the schools that you have listed.
Yeah.
Was there any specific reason that some were listed and some not? Like, was there any designation that pulled these schools out?
No, I think that maybe they might be old data, so I will check that and make sure we have all the schools.
We have, in total, about twice that many schools in the city. So
well,
I just didn't know if there was like
some
sort of metric that meant these schools showed up or didn't or not.
Yeah, it might have been from the old plan and we just didn't check it.
Are you thinking about including the charter schools in that here? Or
we have other district schools, but we also have charter schools.
There's
and
district
private
schools
and
you don't recognize up there, too.
Yeah.
There's
no
charter schools. We'll typically select schools that have recreational land, right? If it's a private school that doesn't have access of any kind.
Yeah.
We have another middle school that's not listed there. And there's, anyway, so I just wondered. Yeah, that's all.
I was
wondering.
Good, I may have.
You know? Yeah.
I wonder if there are suggestions about these underserved areas, for example. A couple of pretty big yellow spots there in the city. I mean, a lot of that, it seems to me like a lot of that's pretty built out. I don't know how we add more parks in those.
The service gap in the northeastern portion of the city does have some remaining rural
Like one.
Yeah. Some vacant land, but the major one.
We are familiar with
is
that piece.
Very,
yeah.
The biggest
not
the one is
not,
the
baby.
So
we're not turning it into a park.
Yeah, sometimes it may not, you may have to be creative with how you address needs there. Maybe it is through more trail corridors, if you can establish that, or maybe just gradually over time trying to purchase land as it becomes available, but it's tricky for sure.
Colby, just an update that I was thinking of is for the mountain bike park that we added on. I don't think that's really shown there because there's that yellow on Bangor Highway. Just how we approved that a couple of weeks, well, I guess our last city council meeting.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
As far as level of service goes, do you think that kind of, at least for city facilities, kind of maintaining this 3.4 moving forward, or would you be interested in increasing that or maybe decreasing it? Don't necessarily have to decide tonight, but
I think luckily Bingham Creek Regional Park is, as you said, going to help quite a bit with that as that builds out.
It will maintain it.
Kind of keep us closer to that 3.4 than falling behind.
So this does, would it include the 20 acres in the annexation part or the proposed shoreline, right?
Tonight.
I'm just trying to visualize what park space we kind of could be looking at bringing on already.
It does not account for those, but I don't know that it would if it's not developed.
Because it's not developed.
Yeah, but in the future.
But it would add into those future numbers.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help us maintain the acres per thousand.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Today's open space can sometimes be tomorrow's park. So.
I think overall, kind of maintaining at least where we're at, I think definitely residents would support more. I just don't know where we come up with the land to do it.
Right. Or the money, apparently.
Or the money.
They don't want to
pay. It's really interesting. There's like $150,000 is the kind of the, you know, big chunk of folks at that level of income, and they don't want to pay $5 a month.
Well, I would actually like to see that reevaluated in maybe different terms or something, because
I don't get that.
I think survey was done 2017 or 2018. It was right as the mayor and I came on. There was a survey that indicated residents actually would be willing to pay at least for trails, towards trails and trailhead improvements. And they were willing to do that. At that time, I think it was like $3 a month.
Well, and trails was the number one
in trails
request, not
and
parks.
So it may not be the
number one.
$3 and $5, that's a big difference there, we're being talking, you know?
But it may be that just what we have to be more specific in the question that we're asking them. Maybe there is funding out there for trails and their improvements.
40% difference.
But if you just do parks, they don't.
Let me know if you come up with an extra 7 years or so.
That's what the survey said.
But I forgot about that until you said that. And I think that was close to the same time because Harriman implemented their park fee about 6 years ago for about $5 a month. No, but I think it was about that same time that we got feedback that $3 a month for.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
I think unless you have specific instructions for us, we'll continue through the process. We will provide updates as necessary and hopefully be back in a little while with a draft for you to review. And then of course, we'll take it to the Planning Commission so they have an opportunity to weigh in and provide their input and then final adoption. So
I wouldn't mind seeing the targeted parks that we are very aware of in the annexed areas or in the developing areas right now, because we know of some acreage there and how that, you know, contributes to where we're going to be toward build-out.
Okay.
I think that's relevant.
Kind of a thing I'd like to just clarify. When Kyrene talked about one of her slides, it was in the new annexed area, residents number one wanted trails, number two wanted parks, and it said they didn't want sports fields. My question to that is, do you separate out sports fields and sport courts? Because they're a very different animal.
We treat them differently.
Okay. So that I'd like you just kind of look at that slide again. That was the new annexed area. What they're seeking was number one trails, number two parks. According to my notes, not sport fields, which has me interested.
That's odd.
That
seems really odd. I wonder if that's...
So clarify that slide, if you would.
I don't remember that.
That's why I wrote it down, because I was like, they're not looking for fields, so that might be something we want to take to heart, that they're not asking for more sport fields.
I didn't see that.
And then
go back and look at the slide. If I'm wrong, correct me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want new sports fields until those residents that move into that undeveloped area start choosing their sports fields.
True.
That's then they'll want to know where
they are. But I thought that was very interesting that they didn't. And maybe I wrote it down because I was like, that's odd.
So the parks plan does or does not include trails? Or will
it?
It does include trails. Mm-hmm. Okay. So personally, I would like to see off-leash areas designated. I know that could be a worry.
So these are city-owned trails, as opposed to canal, you know, that are not owned by the city.
So,
canal trails.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you find that?
Yes. One in five did want sports fields.
One in five.
But sports courts was 30%.
Yeah, so 20% do want.
Yeah, they want more courts. They want more courts. In other words,
the number one was trails, number two was parks,
sports courts, indoor aquatic center, and then sports fields.
Okay, so is that like number six? Okay.
Number
five. Okay.
So they do want it. Five out of how many is it?
Maybe like
8, 9, 10. 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,
10. 10 people.
Or 10 categories.
10 options, yeah. 10 that they provided.
Thank you for all your work on this. We look forward to getting this. And I do think it would be helpful if we have, like, we'll have all of the aggregate information that you come up with for the city-owned parks. But I think always including an asterisk about what that number looks like, including the daybreak parks, because it's just part of the reality of our community, right? It's just what it is. So we need to know what we really need to do, and also we have to be realistic in taking into account how many people are using those parks, because they just exist, right? So that would be helpful. Anything else? Okay, thanks so much.
Great.
Appreciate
you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Colby. Thanks, Kyrene. Okay, we are going to move on. Item F1, we have a senior advisory committee member appointment. We're going to turn to our director of recreation, Janelle Payne. So if you'd like to come on up, Janelle and team, we welcome all of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Janelle and the party.
And the party, yeah.
You do have the fun department.
Try and keep
sometimes.
It that way.
Yeah. No, thank you for having us. We had an application from Ms. Jansky for the Senior Advisory Committee. Shortly, I think it came in shortly after the banquet where a lot of you were attending, where it was announced the proposed Senior Center project. And so that got some interest from people in being involved in the community. Ms. Jansky is an avid Wii bowler. She's on our Wii bowling team. She's doing pretty good, as far as I know. But if you have any questions about her application, or for me or Jamie, happy to take them.
Well, do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? What do you like to do? Why does this interest you?
I moved here from Indiana. And my children were young and had asthma real bad. The doctor suggested here, so here we are. And why? I just because I got older now, I have noticed how the elderly are being treated. And it's very discouraging. So if there's anything I can do to help them, I would like to.
That's a good cause.
Yeah. So, and I'm pretty easygoing, just doing my own thing.
Anybody have any questions?
Where do you live, roughly?
Just off 102nd South and... I don't know.
I think it's 40th.
On the west side of 4000.
Yeah.
So, it's not far from where we're built. You're thinking about building our new center.
How do you feel about the senior center?
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, we've gotten a whole group of people together that are going to try to move in and take over the place.
And you want to be the poster girl.
Yes. I mean, you know, you're putting it out there. Might as well take advantage
of it.
Awesome. Yep.
We'll make sure that you're on the list for all of the planning commission, city council.
Favor of
knock the doors and talk to your neighbors.
Bring your friends.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I've only moved here since March in this area, so none of them know me yet.
I like the yet part.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens. If I believe in the cause, I go all out. So I'm just like that.
That's good. Any other questions?
Just appreciate your willingness to serve. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't think we have any other questions. Kay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank
so
you
nice
for coming
to meet
in.
You. We appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask if we have a motion to recess our city council study meeting and move us to executive closed session for the discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, and also the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
So moved.
Second.
I don't even know where to start.
Brad moved.
All right, wow. We have a motion by Mr. Marler and a second by Mr. Shelton. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're going to move into executive closed session. Thank you.
We're done.
We're just recessing.
We are going to recess this work meeting. We're going to go into our regular scheduled city council meeting, and we will reconvene after that. Okay.
So moved.
Give me a second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Brian, adjourn. Thank you.